This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
Oh yeah, a little bit of George Harrison for you. Boy, I miss that guy. He died of cancer, I think, around 1997, if I remember right. And a lot of the songs the Beatles did, he sang. If you think back on some of those big hits, and he was the songwriter. I guess he was the, they would say, the most talented of the musicians of the four. His ability to be lead guitar, he played other instruments as well. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you very much for being with us. It is Tuesday, June the 15th. We're halfway through this month. Wow. In a few minutes, Will Reinhart of the Center for Growth is going to be with us. We're going to talk about the TikTok app. I know nothing about the TikTok app. I'm going to find out something about it. Donald Trump tried to ban the thing. He tried to ban it while he was in with an executive order. Joe Biden is giving TikTok a pass. So why all the fuss about it? We're going to talk with Will, get his thoughts. And inflation rearing its head with producer prices surging 6.6%. Last month, May, that's the most on record for a month. That's scary. We're going to get some thoughts about that and some other things. Joe Biden, upcoming elections, from the proprietor of the barber pole himself, the Honorable Andrew Ceresi. Stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And why is the country of Ireland why the country of Ireland should fear and fight the global tax deal being embraced by Biden and those G7 leaders. We're going to talk about the reasoning behind that, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, they got a new one, the top 10 most livable cities in the world. Want to see if Ed has any idea. Maybe we're in it, Ed. You never know. So we'll find out. By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For my money, it's the best place to go, you guys, for a good haircut at a great price, and a great haircut at a good price. But call for your appointment first, 727-733-3773. They are located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. All right. Well, and we're going to talk a little later about this as well. But you know what the most secretive tax going on right now for Biden is? Inflation. In the first 6 months of his presidency, inflation has squeezed businesses and families that were still reeling from the pandemic. And this might be, along with the border, I think inflation, they always say it's the economy, stupid. You've heard that many times. Well, inflation might do him in as well. As Americans return to normal life and their spending habits, Republicans are sounding the alarm on rising prices and laying the blame squarely at the feet of Joe Biden, saying he has a spendthrift recovery agenda. Well, he does. He's got all of these plans. He's expanded the definition of infrastructure. Infrastructure is now whatever the Democrats want to say it is. And they've got, what, $1.6 trillion, or $2.something trillion? It doesn't make any difference. Once you get to $1 trillion, your eyes are glazed over anyway. But that's helping cause inflation when you spend that kind of money, because we don't... See, here's the deal. This is the thing that the Democrats never want you to know. We print money. There's no backing for it. There's no backing for it. That helps cause inflation. The value of the dollar is eroding. It's eroding so quickly. Well, you all know it if you have to put gas in your cars or if you've gone to the grocery store. All the things are going up. Virtually everything that you are now buying is more expensive than it was a couple of months ago. So we all feel it. Except this is the tax that hurts the little guy the most. The rich people, they can afford to spend more money. They got plenty of it. But the ones that are on fixed incomes, that are just barely making it, think about them. They've already figured out, you know, what they can spend on food and gasoline and entertainment and things like that. And then everything becomes a little more expensive. What do they do? Right? This is the kind of thing. So this is where we are. Here's Mitch McConnell. He blamed the American Rescue Plan, Biden's $2 trillion COVID recovery package, for both people not wanting to work and raging inflation. Yeah, and then you got all these people that don't want to go back to work. They're finally figuring out that when you send people extra money, they don't go out and look for jobs. This is the old common sense thing, right? If you give me money every month, that gives me less and less and less of an incentive to go out and earn a living. And that's what we were doing. Above and beyond the state unemployment benefits, the feds get involved in it with money that they don't really have backing for, as we said. So Republicans are jumping on this. They've got a strategy to drive the inflation message home for next year in the midterms. Here's what Jim Banks, he leads the Republican Study Committee, wrote to his colleagues. He said, they're trying to spin the media and explain that it has nothing to do with their big spending policies, which we know is simply false. He says, that's why we need to tie inflation to the Biden economic agenda and explain to voters how inflation is the Democrats' hidden tax on the middle class. Indeed. We're going to talk a little bit further about inflation. I think that, you know, the border and inflation right now are the two most prominent. I'm not saying they're the most important, but perhaps right now the most prominent issues that the Democrats don't have a good answer on. You know, Kamala Harris, by the way, she's gone like 63 days without going to the border. 63 days at least. But she'll go everywhere else. And when she is asked the question, she laughs it off. When they asked her, why haven't you gone to the border? She said, well, I haven't gone to Europe. Oh, I see. Okay, so that's why you haven't gone to the border. Actually, did I say it's 83 days that she's knocked onto the border? So there you go. All right. We're going to switch gears when we come back from our break. We're going to talk with Will Reinhart about the TikTok app and whether or not it should be allowed.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Can Talk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Tuesday at Freedom Works, and we thank you all very much for listening in. Delighted to have back Will Reinhardt. He is a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity, which is headquartered at Utah State University. We're going to talk with Will about something I know very little about, Will, to be honest with you, is the TikTok app. But there are people that feel it should not be around, and then there are others that think it absolutely should be. So before we get into how you feel about TikTok, could you explain to our listeners what the TikTok app is all about?
To Twitter and Instagram, but it really focuses on videos. So they're short video clips. People can put their own videos online, and it really has been very much driven by this kind of short clip network. But what's really key and what's really interesting about TikTok is they seem to have spent a lot of time actually figuring out the algorithm for videos, and there's a lot of hand coding that they actually do with videos. And so the videos that are served to individuals are actually pretty high quality. And usually, you start going down a TikTok, hole, and you can kind of, learn more and more about a certain kind of niche topic that then becomes your own thing.
Okay.
It actually has this really interesting algorithm that's actually highly prized and kind of sought after in the industry.
Okay. Now, one of the things that everybody kind of worries about, a TikTok's parent company is in China, in Beijing. It's called ByteDance.
Yes.
And
yes.
Donald Trump issued an executive order banning TikTok and another app called WeChat.
WeChat.
Okay.
Yes. WeChat.
So all of a sudden, there's all this to do about the intrusion by China into somehow manipulating the app to spy on us. I guess that's kind of what this whole thing was about?
Yeah, so there was originally concern. So Trump, the executive order that came out, I think it was about 2 years ago now, the original executive order basically gave a deadline and said, you have to sell off your data, you have to sell off your databases, or you have to basically come in alignment with American legal lines. So for TikTok, that actually happened. They ended up getting into a contract with Oracle, and now Oracle supplies the database that drives TikTok. But WeChat is still, from my understanding, has a still pretty writ large ban in the United States. Well, until there was this pullback of the most recent executive order by President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of changes that have occurred recently, and I think what was put instead, what Biden put instead was a larger review of all apps. And really what people worry about is that you can collect app information, and by collecting app information, in particular contact information and where people are located, you don't need too much information to figure out these kind of network gaps. And you can kind of figure out where people exist and where people live. And you can start doing, perhaps corporate espionage or more, nefarious national security items. A big worry, at least when this first came around with President Trump, was that, you know, that at the end of the day, maybe TikTok would be able to collect information from, you know, people who work in the national security agencies, but collect information from their, you know, from their sons and daughters, and be able to effectively know more information about their location because of that. So there's a lot that's going on there, and there's a lot of uncertainty exactly about what's collected and how it's being used. And really, if you know, TikTok in particular is a something that we should more broadly worry about.
Right. I mean, everybody is worried now about the intrusion into our private lives. And it's not just TikTok. I mean, we worry about Google. We worry about all of these other things that we use collecting data on us. And, you know, more and more and more, we have learned that if you are willing to go on the internet, then you are willing to lose a lot of your privacy. But here are some of the things that are mentioned about TikTok. The administration accuses the Chinese government of using it to collect data that may be used to track federal employees and blackmail them, censoring content that could be damaging to the Chinese Communist Party. In other words, anybody that says anything bad, you know, about the Chinese people running that country, they want to stop that, and also using it for propaganda purposes.
Yep.
Okay, so, I mean, those are kind of scary, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, they are scary, right? I mean, there has we've clearly seen, at least in Hong Kong, there has been a lot that has been shut down with videos regarding TikTok. You know, in the collecting information about the national security agencies is this contact, you know, this contact environment that I was talking about, this potential situation where you might be able to collect information about individuals that aren't online because they're socially connected to somebody else. So all of those are a very, very clear worry. And what we've seen with the Biden administration is a broader look at not just TikTok and WeChat, but a lot of foreign-owned entities that are located in China. So they're going to be looking more broadly. And they'll probably be at some point, I would assume, probably in the next couple of years, there'll probably be some sort of either legislation or there'll be some sort of action that's taken by the administration to basically, you know, I don't want to say localize the United States, but probably a data localization requirement. I have a feeling that's probably going to come up in the next couple of years.
Right. We're talking with Will Reinhardt. He's a senior research fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University. We're talking about TikTok. And I'm learning things about TikTok and whether or not it should be allowed. So, Will, give us your thought. Should we allow TikTok, with all of its flaws, to continue here in the United States?
So, you know, I've been a little skeptical of doing a writ large ban of TikTok. I mean, I'm not on TikTok. I know it's actually a very popular app. The question I had, especially with the Trump administration's executive order, was one of legal standing, and it wasn't necessarily clear that there was strong legal standing. So this is what it seems that people are trying to go and figure out if there are better ways to effectively, you know, ban these apps. I don't want to see us necessarily ban these apps as much as we probably should you know, think about some sort of, you know, it's kind of a bad situation, but probably data localization of some sort, limitations on how much information can be sent back to China. There's a big question whether or not TikTok actually sends information back to China. There's the intelligence community is actually really, really split on this. And so there's just a lot of uncertainty right now. And personally, I really would hope that, you know, that some of this uncertainty is dispelled through research, through some sort of national security work, which it seems as though is happening. So before we have a writ large ban, I would like to see a lot more. I would like to see a little bit more evidence and a lot more stuff marshaled in support of you know, good evidence that we know that TikTok is doing nefarious things.
Yeah.
I've seen it all over the board at this point, and I really just hope that we can dispel some of that before we make a really strong ban towards these apps.
I would think that we could create a TikTok in the United States without having to rely on something created in China. We know China's not our buddy. I mean, we know that. Yeah. We know that they are doing nefarious things. We know that their government is treacherous. We know that they lie. We know that they're covering up about the COVID. So yeah. We've got all of those things going on in China, yet we continue to buy their products, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I'm on the fence about it.
Yeah.
And now we got Russia hacking things.
China as well.
Yeah. We got Russia hacking things. I think it puts American citizens, I think their antenna, is up a lot more about all of this stuff right now. Your thought?
Yeah, no, I mean, to put a really fine point on this, it's really tough for me as even somebody who watches this very closely to parse out what's going on. You know, we know in China that TikTok is facing a lot of pressure as being too driven by American interests. So even within the country of China, we've seen a lot of pushback. Some of the top leaders within TikTok actually stepped down. The parent company, some of the original founders stepped down because they were facing just too much pressure from Beijing. So we're also seeing within China TikTok being this thing that, you know, TikTok doesn't really exist in China. There's a completely different app that exists in China. And so everything that is based in TikTok is Western, you know, Western countries, and the United States. And when we think about it like that, the company itself is also facing pressure from Beijing. To me, it just complicates all of this even more that obviously this country or this company probably wants to, you know, if it had the opportunity, I think it probably would break away from Beijing and from China, because it probably could make more money otherwise. But we're seeing this tension exist also within China, these companies trying to go mainstream and also being capped and hampered from doing that.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting international situation to really watch, because I don't think there's any real clear, you know, it's not clear what we should be doing and how we should be, you know, how we should be approaching these technologies, especially if we want them to exist and bring them to American shores, perhaps.
Yeah. We don't know how much the Chinese government is actually involved in TikTok, do we? I mean, And I don't know that there is an immediate way of finding out. But another interesting point, that banning things like WeChat and TikTok will end up closing off American companies from foreign markets like China, right? In other words, they might retaliate if we shut down those things here, right?
Yeah, no, that is a very clear worry, and especially with China growing and you know, becoming more of an economic player in the East, obviously, there is this big worry that if America and, you know, and our European allies don't kind of get our act together and figure out what our plans should be, that we're going to be steamrolled by Chinese technologies. And so I think that is a very, very clear worry, that we need to figure out what this approach looks like, and it's probably, you know, working more closely with our European allies, embedding concerns of free speech, and also probably having a conversation of what happens with data and where can it go and how can it be accessed by foreign government.
Yeah. I'm not sure that Joe Biden is the right president for this issue. I'm thinking about the connection that he and his son have there. And I don't know. People are going to say, you know, he's real soft on China. He's hard on Russia. Or at least we think he's hard on Russia. We'll find out maybe after tomorrow. But not so much on China. And then he's got his son Hunter that's been involved over there and taking big payoffs and all of that. And now he's lifting this thing about TikTok, which is a Chinese company. I mean, can you see that people would be a little dubious about his objectivity?
Of course. And I would hope that how this has been handled, at least it's been generally pushed off into the national security agencies. And that would be my hope, is that they actually push it past the finish line, and that there's then a broader conversation perhaps in Congress, that, you know, both Republicans and Democrats of all stripes begin to have a conversation about what we should be doing with these foreign apps. So, yeah, I my hope is for Congress to get involved at some point, not necessarily for this just to be a presidential action and just an executive action. I think it really does need to emanate from Congress, and we need to have a more holistic approach, which will be informed by, you know, a broader review of what's going on.
You're right. So right now, as things stand at this moment, TikTok is allowed, right, in this country?
Yeah.
Okay. And the other one, WeChat, both of them, you're good with it. You can go out and get it, and don't have to worry about some FBI guy coming to your door, right?
Yes, for my okay. WeChat has been a little bit. WeChat hasn't gotten as much play in all of this, but from my understanding, yes, WeChat can be downloaded right now.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation with you. I've learned more about WeChat and TikTok, especially TikTok, and I thank you for that. Very, very interesting. I know this thing's going to be discussed for a while, and I thank you so much for your time on this.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Will Reinhart from the Center for Growth and Opportunity. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we will have the Master Barber with us. We kind of talk a little bit about Biden's trip to talk with Putin. They're calling it a summit. I would love to be there listening to that. And also the inflation situation. I wonder if the Master Barber is going to raise his prices. We'll have to ask him.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Tuesday. By the way, we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. We are as right as rain, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. It's your pleasure to listen to us. However, if you can't listen to us live, Big Ed has figured it out. He's put us on podcast. So just go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com, click on the podcast button at the top. You can choose the show you want to hear. They're in chronological order. You will see the guest. You will see the top 10. You got it made. ourfreedomworks.com. All right. Remember Robert Redfield, Ed? I don't know if you probably remember the name. He was the former director of the Center for Disease Control. He now says that it's more than likely, it's most likely that COVID virus origin is the lab, the Wuhan lab. Former CDC director discussing the ongoing debate over the pandemic origins. And he had this lengthy interview, I guess, over the weekend at the NYU Langone Medical Center. And I think the tide has turned. I would say that most people probably figure that the wet market was not where it came from.
And that's followed by, gee, we're sorry, Mr. Trump.
Yeah.
You were right.
Exactly. Oh, there are so many people that dislike Trump that they are on their knees praying that it came from a wet market, you know. But he was right on it, right from the start. He's looking smarter and smarter as time goes by. He got the vaccine out when people said it would take a couple of years. Some people did, but he got it out within months. If you think about it, when he told them warp speed, it was warp speed.
They was bought, paid for.
Yeah.
And once the research was done, they make sure it was absolutely clean and ready to go.
There you go.
Off and run, yeah. But no thank you.
No thank you. So we got the Master Barber with us. And now, Andrew, I know you've got some thoughts. You've always had some thoughts about who really caused the virus, et cetera. But it really does. It's looking more and more like this is something that popped out of that Wuhan laboratory. Are you starting to think, yeah, maybe that's what happened?
I never doubted what happened.
Oh, okay.
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 Number one, Trump said it came from the lab. He was right. Number two, Paul, I don't know if you've heard on the news lately about hydroxychloroquine.
I've heard about it, yes.
Okay, have you heard that 90% of the people that died would probably be alive today with hydroxychloroquine? But this shows you how desperate they were to get rid of Trump, that they let them kill people?
No, I didn't hear that one, although I did hear that.
It was on Sunday.
Okay, well, on a particular program, or what? Where?
It was on Fox News. It was on Fox News the other day. They had a couple of doctors testifying to it. They said 90% of the people that have died would have taken hydroxychloroquine at the beginning of their symptoms would be alive today.
Wow.
I'd like to know who the people were that banned it. They should be put away for murder.
I would like to see a testing of the hydroxychloroquine. An objective test, and I would like to see that. I mean, I think, indeed, if that is something that if people that just have gotten the virus and they can go over and get hydroxychloroquine and it'll stop the spread of the virus, my goodness, yes, I agree with you.
Well, because Trump said it. You understand?
Yeah.
Because Trump said it, oh, no, it's no good. They put people to death by not taking that, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, and they should be, but whoever said we're going to ban hydroxychloroquine, because that's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Whoever banned that, I would like to find out, because they should be put up for murder charges.
So was hydroxychloroquine banned? I mean, can't people?
Yes, they stopped people from getting it during that pandemic.
Okay, so as an example, if I go to my doctor and I ask for hydroxychloroquine, would he tell me that it's something?
They wouldn't give it to you. They wouldn't give it to you in the hospital, Paul.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I want to know who was behind that. It's ridiculous. They killed people to get Trump not elected. This should be all over the news, Paul.
Yeah. No, I agree with you if that's the case. I do. I absolutely.
But you're not going to hear about it, Paul.
No, I guess not.
Just like about Arizona. So far, what I'm hearing is Trump won the state of Arizona in the background. You're not hearing anything about it.
I'm not hearing anything about anything. Now, you know the mainstream media doesn't want to talk about it except to poo-poo it. But
yeah, well,
why haven't they finished?
They need to put this out about the hydroxychloroquine, Paul.
Yeah.
This needs to be exposed.
Okay.
It's disgusting.
Well,
and now I was listening to the morning show this morning,
mm-hmm.
and Ed and Paul and Tracy were talking about an article about Anna Paulina.
Oh, yes.
Newspaper. What, are you kidding?
I didn't hear it. You'll have to tell me what they said.
Well, according to what they were saying, that Anna Paulina thinks her life is in danger from Amanda Mackey and this other guy that wants to run against her in the primary, saying they got a murder plot against her.
Really?
This is what
I don't know anything about it. Ed, do you know anything about the... you do? Okay. No, I didn't know about this. So,
yes. Is she going to get the name Lunatic now?
I mean, that may be.
I personally know Amanda Mackey. She's a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
She's a sweetheart and probably should be the run...
I believe we had her on the show. I believe we had her on the show, yeah.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, Paul, the way these people are going, I'm thinking of running for Charlie's seat.
Well, this is bringing me over to talking to you about the whole thing, running for governor here. Charlie's going to run. We're talking about Charlie Crist out of St. Petersburg. And we've also got that former police officer, the black lady from Orlando,
Val Demings. She's running for the Senate.
She's running for the Senate. That's right. She is running for the Senate. So it'll basically be Charlie and Ron DeSantis, perhaps.
Nikki Fried, too.
Oh, Nikki Fried. That's right. Nikki Fried. Okay.
Nikki Fried. I think she's going to pull in more money than Charlie Crist is on this one.
Do you think that she could...
She's the Democrat sweetheart.
Yeah. In other words, you think she might end up beating Charlie in the primary?
Beat Charlie Crist.
Wow.
I think she will.
Okay. Now, let's get over to your favorite president. Well, maybe not your favorite, maybe Lincoln was your favorite, but your favorite president after that, Joe Biden. And he's going to be talking with Vladimir Putin tomorrow. And I think you and I would love to be invisible and be sitting there in the with the phone conversation. However, for some reason, he won't stand up and do a press conference with Putin. I think it's because he doesn't want to look bad, because they'll ask questions with Putin standing there. And he's very, despite, you know, Trump will stand there with Putin, or Trump will stand there with Chinese President Xi at a news conference and allow people to ask those questions, but not Biden.
Well, Paul, first of all, I want to find a Russian interpreter that's going to be able to interpret Biden's mumbles.
You may understand more of the words coming out of Putin's mouth than you would Biden's mouth.
Exactly. This interpreter is going to have to be really good to translate mumbles.
This is a great segue. I got to read this to you. Listen, Biden chuckled and then went silent yesterday at the NATO summit after somebody asked him about Russian President Putin. Here's the question. In a weekend interview, Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Oh, by the way, this is a CNN reporter asking this. So he says, is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer? The reporter followed with a second question. Do you believe if he does agree to cooperate, then what kind of a challenge do you find yourself in? How would you ever trust him? And if Ronald Reagan said trust but verify, what do you say to Vladimir Putin? So Biden laughed, and then he said the answer to the first question. Then he goes, I'm laughing too. He has made clear that... Biden goes silent for 7 seconds. Then he goes, the answer is, I believe, he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asking that question on air, I answered it honestly, but it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this. You know, Andrew, if I talk like that on my show, I wouldn't have the millions of listeners that I have.
I don't know, Paul.
I mean,
chocolate chip ice cream. And maybe,
but Biden is not strong on his feet. He's okay reading
he's
a teleprompter.
Not period, Paul.
Okay.
The guy is a little sleaze bag. He was planted in office. The election was rigged. Hydroxychloroquine would have saved 90% of the people out there today. You're taking this country down, and the dummies in America better wake up.
Yeah.
And the Republican candidates better watch what they talk about, because they're ruining everything they were trying to build.
I promised I would talk a little bit about inflation with you. Andrew, if I come in for a haircut in 6 weeks, are you going to raise your prices?
No, Paul.
Okay.
I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please.
I've been in business 36 years on 580.
Yeah,
and I have customers that are great customers,
yes.
Paul. And, you know, I charge $12 for anybody under 65,
yes.
And $10 for anybody over 65.
And you've been doing that forever, that I remember.
I've been doing that forever. And you know what? My customers tip me enough where if I raised my prices, I would still get the same thing. It
wouldn't make
any difference.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but you're right. Because you're so generous with your price. You probably do, and not just you, but Candy and everybody else there that do such a wonderful job get a little bit more in tips.
That's right, Paul. And, you know, it all works out. It's been good to me for all these years, and why ruin a good thing? Let the balloon inflate. But over here at Andrews, we're staying just the way we are, buddy, because we make a good living and we treat people fair.
That is the perfect answer, and you do treat people fair. And as I've said before, you are also a good Samaritan. That is keeping a military man going that is in a wheelchair, and you are the one that basically is watching over him like a guardian angel. You're a great guy. And,
you know, Paul, it's like I tell people, you can't just take in this life. You have to give, okay?
Yes.
And if you give, you receive. Treat people how you want to be treated.
Yeah, it's true. The greatest feeling you ever get is when you're generous to somebody else with your time. There's no greater feeling. Have you ever noticed that? There's just like a warm, feeling that encases your body when you do something like that.
In the era that we were raised,
kind of like having brandy. Go ahead.
We were taught to be that way with people in our generations. Help people. You used to know your neighbors.
Oh, you did.
In this country, nobody helps anybody.
No, and they don't know their neighbors. You're right about that. People are to themselves.
It's a whole different world. And we need to go back to basics. We need to go back to basics in this country because we're going to lose it all if we don't. We're on the verge of it.
Isn't it ironic that these apps and internets and all of those things actually split us apart more than bring us together, if you think about it? They actually do. If we didn't have all of those things, we would be a closer community.
Well, you know, Paul, the only thing going to bring this country together is a disaster. You know it, and I know it. That's the only thing going to bring this country together. And you know what? We're coming into a disaster right now. This president we have in his administration is the biggest disaster you could have in this country. The proof is in the packaging. Oil is going to be $100 a barrel. You're going to be paying $4 a gallon in July. And everybody thinks they're going to get their little electric skateboards to run around on.
Yeah. Well, I think they're in for a huge surprise, and I'm hoping by next November, and not this coming, that there's going to be a huge backlash, a huge, huge
backlash. Well, there should be, Paul. If there's not, this country is doomed.
Okay. Well, it's
doomed, buddy.
It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Keep up your good work, my friend, and we will talk with you again on Friday.
You got it, Paul. You guys have a good day.
We will. Thanks to you. We will. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
I always feel better after talking with him, even with some, I don't know, Ed, even with some of his doom and gloom. I don't know. It's just, if there were more people like him that have that energy and that passion and all that kind of thing, you know what I mean? It's kind of a good thing. Anyway, we're going to take our final break. And I'm going to talk with Ed for a while about our beloved Lightning and our beloved, they did something bad to my beloved White Sox, the Rays. And and also the top 10 most livable cities in the world.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment. So glad you are with us. Boy, you know, Democrats and liberals start eating their own eventually. They are now telling Stephen Breyer, you know, there's only three liberals on the Supreme Court. There are three of them. There is Sonia Sotomayor, and there's Elena Kagan, and there is Stephen Breyer. Now, Stephen Breyer is the oldest guy on the court right now. And people on the left, a lot of them, are asking Stephen Breyer to step down. They want a younger liberal. They want a younger liberal, and they got Biden in the White House right now who would appoint a younger liberal, and they want Breyer to hear the message and get the hell out. One of the other reasons, apparently, is because they fear that Mitch McConnell will block a nominee from Biden in 2024 if Republicans get the Senate majority. So they want it now while the Democrats actually control the Senate. They've got 50-50, but the Democrats have Vice President Kamala Harris to cast the deciding vote, you see. And it's a simple majority to select a Supreme Court justice. Now, that's not the only person that they don't like. They don't like West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin. He's a Democrat. And they also don't like Democratic Senator Kristen Sinema, because they are voting as moderates. And those two can stop all kinds of legislation that the progressives would want to pass, because you got to have both houses pass the bills. And those two are standing in the way. They also are standing in the way of repealing the filibuster, which is driving many. I bet you that Manchin and Sinema get death threats from Republicans all the time. All the time. So it's just a matter of, again, turning on these people. And it's kind of, you know, as a person that's not a Democrat, kind of interesting and amusing in some cases to watch them go after these people, because they're not thinking like they think they should think, you know? Oh, I know who that is. Kamala Harris. Is it?
She thought it was funny, too.
She did think it was funny. She thinks any question that makes her look bad. Very good. Now, only you would think about pulling that little laugh. Was that from the question about whether, when she's going to go?
That was from the border, actually.
Yeah.
It wasn't funny, but she thought
it wasn't
funny.
It wasn't funny. No, it's always an awkward laugh. Yeah. You're right about it. All right, Ed, let's stop talking about this. I got something that I'd rather talk about right now. Number one, we got the second game of the semifinals between the New York Islanders and our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning, and I'm very, very worried. I thought we were going to – we had the first game 2 days ago, and we lost it at home.
Mm-hmm.
2-1, I believe, the score. But I'm worried. Now, are you worried?
We talked about it yesterday, and, you know, they did the same thing last year. They lost the first game. They're not going to win them all. You know, well, if they're down 2-0 –
then you're worried.
Then you got to worry. If they lose this one tonight, you got to worry.
Okay.
So you're going to be flipping tonight, or have you already given up on your Chicago White Sox?
I'm going to be watching the game.
So they both
started. With two TVs going on.
Both started 8 o'clock tonight. Thanks.
I'll be watching.
Appreciate
both.
That. You know.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that terrible? Okay, so let's switch over to our beloved Tampa Bay Rays, who are just great, and they pounded my White Sox last night in the first matchup. Since the two of them are kind of neck and neck in the American League, and I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, this is going to be a good game. And right away, right out of the gate, in the top of the first inning, the Rays score 2 runs, and it's 2-0 for them, and they never lost. I don't think they lost the lead.
No, they didn't. They held the lead, and pitching shut down the White Sox. And White Sox are just, they're missing some key players. I know that.
Well, I know.
A couple of guys that are hurt.
I think one of their second basemen or
something. But, you know, they managed to win almost 40 games without them.
And you know who's managing them? The oldest guy in the managing ranks.
And you got the youngest guy.
Versus the youngest guy, Cash.
Do you know Cash is 3 wins away from 500 in his career already?
Amazing. Amazing. And I believe the White Sox manager has the most wins of any and he's already in his 70s.
Yeah.
He's still going. It's unbelievable.
Cash is in his 40s.
I know.
And he's going to hit 500.
That's amazing. It really is. It's a very interesting dichotomy between these two teams.
And we must mention that the poor Yankees are now 8 games back. Sorry, what? 8.5 games
back. Why am I not shedding a tear? I can't make myself get emotional.
They're falling faster than...
Then Biden down then, the stairway then, up to the airplane. Go ahead, and, say it. That's what you were thinking.
No, then Hillary in a pantsuit. I mean,
trying to get into a bus and falling. Okay, we got you. All right, and it's time for our top 10. We have, a good one. I don't know. We've done things like this before, but they come up, and somebody comes up with a new one. These are the top 10 most livable cities in the world. This is according to the Global Livability Index. It ranks cities based on more than 30 qualitative and quantitative factors across five broad categories: stability, healthcare, culture, environment, education, and infrastructure.
Healthcare, well, the U.S. is out.
Yeah, they said five broad, but if I count that right, that's six, but that's all right. Culture and the environment are. You think that the. You don't think the United States is in here? All right, we're going to find out. We're going to find out. Here we go, number 10. By the way, 100% is perfect for livability, right? Number 10 at 92.4% is Brisbane, Australia.
Okay.
All right. Now, I don't even know exactly where it is.
Somewhere in Australia.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Number 9. Hey, at 92.5%, Melbourne, Australia. What's going on with Australia? What's so good about living in Australia? Maybe because you're further away from all the trouble.
And their seasons are flopped, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, they're in their winter, or about to become their winter. Number 8, Geneva, Switzerland. Banks and cuckoo clocks.
I have a feeling that's not going to be the only time Switzerland will be in there.
Okay, we're about to find out. Number 7, you're right, Zurich, Switzerland. Have you looked and cheated? Did you see this before?
No, I did not.
Okay, all right. Number 6. I don't know what's going on with Australia, but we're going to every major city. Perth, Australia, at 93.3%. Number 5, Tokyo. Now, Tokyo, when I think of Tokyo, Japan, I think of shoulder-to-shoulder crowded. You know, it's just like it's so crowded that they have to come up with unique ways of keeping people from trampling each other. But apparently, they're very livable. Number 4. Wellington, New Zealand. Now, New Zealand is right off Australia, you know.
Yeah.
They're a little bit further south, which means it gets a little colder because you're in the southern hemisphere. Number 3. And I did not even know that this this place existed. Adelaide, Australia. Adelaide, Australia. 94% livability. Number 2. Number 2 is Osaka, Japan. So we got Tokyo and Osaka. And Osaka is at 94.2%. All right, Ed.
Well, obviously, it's not going to be in the U.S.
Well, you don't know.
Okay.
Well, it might be Trenton, New Jersey, for all I know.
Let's go with...
let me give you a big
hint.
Okay.
Australia?
You want a big hint? I was going to say... keep in mind where all of these are coming from. Yeah. Did you say something in Australia?
Anywhere in Australia.
Okay, well, you're close.
Okay.
But close only in horseshoes and hand grenades. Auckland, New Zealand.
Oh.
So you were close.
I was
going to
say New Zealand, too.
Oh, you were going to say New Zealand. Well, you didn't. Now, 96% livability in Auckland, New Zealand. You know, that might be a very interesting place to visit, just to see why.
We could do live remote from there.
Could we? Would Lola okay you're going over there?
That'd be a long trip.
Where is she? Lola, we want to go to Auckland, New Zealand and do a remote. Will you allow that?
She's been there.
Oh, she has? Okay. Well, listen, thank you so much for being with us. Stay tuned for Joy on Paper, hosted by Patsy with a Z, right after the news. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.